This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
All right, and that's right, it's Friday the 4th of July, as it were.
Brown Nose Day! Happy Brown Nose Day, people!
That's right, and you're tuned to Community Radio 3CR on 855 AM. You might be listening through all the W's at 3cr.org.au or via 3CR Digital.
Or through your surveillance helicopter in the sky, yeah. Particularly today, hovering above 21 Smith Street, as the Victorian Police said when they were first launching their new surveillance helicopters. Just for people who don't remember, at the press conference, they said, you just pick an address, say 21 Smith Street. We can listen to everything they're saying inside, tap into their internet connections, their telephones, everything. And it was no coincidence that they gave the address of your favourite radio station.
And just interestingly, I think it was last year a report came out about, you know, it's the AW139 made by Leonardo.
Mm-hmm.
And we might have mentioned it on the show before, but of any police force in the world, VicPol has used those choppers, has the longest flight time. They clock 10,000 hours before any other police force in the world.
Oh, finally, something to be proud to be Australian, to be Victorian about.
Just great. We've got a pretty good show. We're going to be talking to a couple of folks across the continent, actually, later on in the show. We'll be joined by some folks in Sydney who were at the SEC plating picket last week. And then we're going to go to Mapuanta Alice Springs after a action was held out on the way into Pine Gap there today.
On Hat Road, I do believe.
Yeah, right. But many listeners will be aware that in the last couple of days, Francesca Albanese has released the Human Rights Council report titled From Economy of Occupation to Economy of Genocide, which outlines the companies, the investment firms and that are profiting from genocide, from the ongoing genocide in Gaza, and how that the economy, the whole Israeli economy, is based on the export, import and use of genocide. So we're going to go do a bit more of a deeper dive into that next week because we already had the show lined up for today.
Yeah, but it is a good report. I urge you all to have a look at what Albanese has said. It's really hard. It's really hard to use the name Albanese in a positive sense.
Yeah.
I say the word Albanese and I almost find myself sneering with derision as I say it. But Francesca Albanese, I remember when she came out to Australia, we referred to her as the Albanese we need to have.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she's done a great report. And there's a lot in it. Talks about the companies and, you know, people like Palantir, people like IBM.
Mm.
Talks about the role IBM play and it's, you know, interesting. IBM doing for Israel to help them kill Palestinians exactly the same thing they did for Germany to help them kill Jews 80 years ago.
Yeah.
It talks about, like it speaks to, I should say, the idea that there are no sides in war, only vested commercial interests. And anyone who thinks that this is about Jews or Muslims or Palestinians or... Nah, it's about vested commercial interests. And the vested commercial interests are such that the Israel Stock Exchange has grown by, how much was it, 217%?
Yeah, something...
Since the October the 7th, 2023.
Yeah.
So while the people are dying, while they're dropping missiles, billions and billions and billions of dollars of missiles, while the US has got people starving on the streets and they're deporting people to places they've never heard of, South Sudan. The US has just okayed people who've never been to Africa to be deported to South Sudan. Israel was talking about deporting people to Uganda. While they're killing the poorest people in their own countries, they're spending billions and billions of dollars to make money for the stock exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
And the Israeli stock exchange and weapons companies.
Weapons companies and tech startup.
And
defense.
Tech startup companies on Wall Street too.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to any of the big weapons firms. You know who they are if you've been listening to a Friday Rave for a while. Just go to all of them and look up their share price. Just do. You know, Lockheed Martin, share price.
Mm.
Northrop Grumman, share price. And look at what they've done over the last 20 months.
Yeah.
Part of that
report also talks about defense tech startups.
Yes.
And in 2024 alone, there's been an increase of like 146% of increase in the amount of defense tech startups. And so we spoke about one called Keela. Aptly named, you know, a few weeks ago, that's come directly out of Unit 8200. And 8200 does cough mention in this report as well, if it's going like that this is very much like what we said on the show a couple of weeks ago, that this is bolsters to get into a market to sell the technology that is built upon murder and genocide. This is what it is.
Exactly.
Before we get our guest on the line, I just do want to say that, you know, there's a lot of mention about two big investment firms, Vanguard and BlackRock, which I'm sure many of you have heard of. And just bringing it back, that BlackRock own and Vanguard together are the highest investment firm shares in Palantir. But also Vanguard and BlackRock are also major investors into Elbit Systems. And
yes.
In fact, at Unit 3 at 290 Salmon Street in Port Melbourne, which is the Elbit Systems location.
For those who missed it, because you said it quickly, Unit 3, 290 Salmon Street, Port Melbourne. Don't blame us if graffiti ends up there sometime over the weekend.
Don't blame us. But that lot of units and that building is owned by a company called Asia Property AU1 Proprietary Limited. And so a little bit of a look into Asia Property AU1 Proprietary Limited, and its ultimate holding company is none other than BlackRock.
Oh, no, surprise me.
Yeah, so BlackRock own the building that Elbit in Port Melbourne that Elbit Systems is operating out of in Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
As we speak. But we might go to a quick... Should we go to a quick cart while we get our friends here on the line?
Depends what cart you're thinking of.
Oh, well, I mean, in a few weeks, everyone's going to be coming to Canberra, so I guess you better have a listen and find out why.
Play the Canberra cart.
Comrades, friends, siblings all over this continent, I urge every one of you to join us in Canberra. I refuse to be silent while Gaza was being annihilated. History will judge us all. No one will be able to say they didn't know, that they didn't see, that they didn't hear. The screams and pain are reaching every one of us from the screens we hold in our hands. Now is the time to act. July 20. I urge, I beg each and every one of you, each person of good conscience, to stand with us in Canberra. Together we can send this simple, clear message. The Albanese government must sanction Israel now. When governments fail, responsibility falls upon the citizenry to act. If we don't stand up now, then when? Join us in Canberra, July 20. It's time for the Albanese government to sanction Israel.
People tasted freedom, soon those hellish skies turn to blue and starry nights as our voices start to rise. We're ending an apartheid.
And we are joined now, many of you would have seen in the news, and we did talk about it briefly in the show last week, about the picket at SEC Plating in Belmore. in Sydney and the brutal police violence that happened there. But there's been an ongoing campaign. There's been an ongoing campaign against SEC plating, and we are joined by a couple of folks who were there at the picket last week to tell us a little bit more about it. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Friday Rave.
Thanks for having us.
And now, can you, as far as I'm aware, there's been an ongoing picket campaign, an ongoing campaign against SEC Plating Proprietary Limited. Can you maybe just briefly let us know what it is that SEC Plating do and a little bit about the ongoing campaign there?
Yeah, for sure. So SEC Plating is like, it's an electroplating facility, which is, if you don't know, essentially like coating machined parts in other metals, like usually.
Yeah.
And this is like a very common kind of practice that like lots of different industries use. But we found, or the people that organized this found, that SEC had like some posts that were saying their key customers were like 14 of the biggest arms manufacturers that you can find in Australia. So like Base Systems, Thales, RTX, Raytheon, L3 Mysterio, like these kind of places that are contributing and developing F-35s, as well as like a myriad of other weaponry.
Sure. And for those, Jacob here, mate, most of our listeners are in Melbourne, so I just want to point out for our Melbourne listeners that they're, SEC Plating do similar work to Electromould out in Thomastown, and Belmore is in fact a similar demographic sort of part of Sydney as Thomastown is in Melbourne. So just thought I'd put it in some local context for Melbourne crew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I guess... go ahead, Z.
Well, I was just going to say it was like really amazing also seeing the actions being done at Electromould. I think even before the first SEC picket.
Yeah, right. And actually, I was just looking online earlier, and when you're looking at the Joint Strike Fighter program from an article back in 2016, I believe, in, you know, the coatings and platings, you know, it was talking about how many millions or billions or how much money the Joint Strike Fighter program has been allegedly contributing to the Australian economy, despite the fact that Lockheed Martin sell them to the Australian Defence Force at many times of what they're actually cost to manufacture. So it's
actually double the price that they're listed for in the US arms catalogue.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Electromould and SEC Plating were listed in that article right next to each other. So, you know, the business is the same. And so the campaign has been ongoing there for quite a while now. And can you let us, you know, tell listeners and tell us about what happened there last week?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you to go ahead.
So prior to last week, the crew organizing had got some intelligence that their shift started at 2:30, so...
That's 2:30 a.m.?
Grim workplace. So a crew of folks went down, they picketed the site, they caught the police off guard. They blocked work for 2 hours and everyone went home pretty happy with the win. The following Friday, we all went down. Cops were swarming the site. They were swarming the mosque opposite the site. They were giving people move-ons before they'd left their cars. They came down pretty heavily armored. But the people that went down, we all gathered together. We agreed we'd go down and talk about the move-on order that people were being given. Halfway through the police liaisons negotiating it, a couple of the cops lunged at one of our comrades, dragged him off pretty rough. They grabbed another person, Hannah. They were pretty rough with her. They arrested her. They choked another one of ours, dragged someone across the floor. Yeah, they came down looking for a fight, as Western Sydney cops are wont to do.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and then another one of our comrades was strip searched as we were, like, leaving the area. They refused the medics trying to treat Hannah, saying basically that's on you that you came down. Mm-hmm. I believe the chief constable said something like, when people were pleading for the medics to go look at her, it doesn't look life-threatening, it's probably fine.
Oh, okay. So it only warrants a response if someone's life is being threatened. Yeah, medical attention, right?
No, exactly. Mm. Yeah, and that's how the day went.
Yeah, well, and so I guess just for context, this was off the back of a successful picket that mm-hmm. caught. And so when at the after you got the intelligence at 2:30 at the picket prior where work was successfully stopped, was there police on site at the time or no? They like when people arrived, it was like then they kind of came a bit later.
They got there about an hour after we did.
Right.
And we spent about an hour negotiating like whether or not we were going to move for the workers. I think we got like 2.5 hours of stoppage, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, that's good. And so, you know, they were pissed off basically by the sounds of it, mm-hmm. and then just kind of trying to throw their weight around. Now, it's been spoken about, and I'm conscious that, you know, this is what has been in the media and conscious about ongoing, that's just been announced that it's an investigation. And I mean, you know, you've got people like Tony Burke who have said, you know, that's they'll face the full force of the law or whatever that line that they keep spitting out whenever someone does anything wrong. When the cops do something wrong, they try and spin it and say, which is what they always do. And so...
On you.
Yeah. So what... It's been announced as that the police will be now investigating themselves as a critical incident. Is that correct?
I mean,
yeah.
Mm.
If you can call it that.
Yeah, quote unquote investigating. Yeah, and so in terms of the company, and I guess one thing that I wonder, because you know, in as a place similar to Electromold, is that the pickets at Electromold also face some pretty heavy policing. You know, there was horses down there. There was, you know, crushers in a blockade form. There was OC spray deployed a couple of times. I guess thinking about SEC, and it sort of like it did seem to me in those at those pickets that the kind of out of sight, out of mind. There's like it's kind of police feel like they can maybe have a, you know, come down really hard just to try and deter people from engaging in protest and picketing and community pickets, which are absolutely legal and I would say encouraged against weapons companies. But I'm also just wondering about SEC plating, and they've recently gone into voluntary administration. Could you talk a little bit about that in terms of like what that looks like for this company?
I can share a little bit of info then, and if you want to jump in after me, because I'm on some things. So from what we know, we've seen in the initial research that they had a winding up order back in 2019. Mm. And we're not sure of the like context around that, but they got bailed out. And
oh, really?
Have been like they got bailed out. They managed to not go under.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trucking along until last week, I think it officially started another voluntary administration. So we don't have much of like the details around this, but I like some of us believe that this is part of the increased police crackdown, a feeling of like insecurity in the company,
mm-hmm.
and some new management kind of seeing all this attention and wanting it to go away really quickly. And I kind of think that like after the events on Friday that that outcome has been achieved. If anything, it's been like the worst possible outcome for SEC.
Mm.
I believe the update we got from a friend earlier today is they owe $6.6 million to the ATO.
Oh.
Which is a pretty hefty sum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In anyone's language. And when you look at that, I was talking about Belmore, I've got to admit and just put it out there, I went to school a couple of blocks away from SEC for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Down on Quigg Street. I don't think it's St John's Lakemba, I don't think it's there anymore. But the building itself is quite an old building, and and the company's been there since 1947. And I just wanted to point out to listeners too that this is one of the companies we've been talking about that, due to the impact of Australia entry into a range of free trade agreements at the end of the last century and the first decade of this one, absolutely killed and closed down our automotive industry. SEC Plating used to build and used to do plating work on car parts for Ford and Toyota and General Motors, and you know, it wasn't just the big factories. All these tiny little mechanical and electroplating and metal workshops. What happened is after we stopped producing cars because it's cheaper to buy them from China, all these companies then had the choice about between going broke and starting to work for the weapons industry. Mm.
It's the only way that the manufacturing industry was going to be able to continue and get a government chop out to do it.
Yeah, because it falls outside of, as military equipment, it falls out of the scope of all the free trade agreements. So that so it's interesting to see that these companies, and there are lots of them, every small little company around the country that used to be doing things for car parts. I used to work for a factory not far from there down near Fairfield that was doing parts of the gears for Ford, gearboxes, and for Barry Higginbottom's in Belmore, all over the place. And all these companies, some of them have been saved, yet it just shows the precariousness of the armaments industry, that we can throw millions and millions of dollars, and SEC Plating has been the beneficiary of government grants to retool in order to provide for the F-35 componentry parts, and they're still going broke.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the story, I guess, for HTA, Electromold, AW Bell, all of these big kind of companies that are quote unquote small family owned businesses.
HDA used to make lawnmower blades, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. And so they're retooling because it's what is left. And that's why we're seeing so many of these kind of family owned businesses that are retooling for defense in manufacturing. But that, is there any, I guess, what's next for our comrades who up there in Sydney and sending solidarity to everyone? So what are the next steps that are happening after this Friday, after last week rather? Are you still with us there on the line, or we lost you?
No, we're still here.
Oh.
Inshallah, I believe we're having a rally next Friday. The details will be up on the Instagram, just as like a show of strength, just a community gathering. We're hoping the police don't double down. But I think we're also discussing, because what we're doing is working, because they're clearly anxious, we're discussing like how we can be effective, how we can keep the pressure up. I don't think many people are deterred after what happened last Friday. I think people want to make sure this place cuts off its weapons contracts.
Yeah. Or just never reopen.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
And
oh, sorry. Yes, go ahead.
Into the like, yeah, not only with sex cleaning, but there's like a number of things in the works, hopefully, that will be popping up all around Sydney. And sec in one way is just like a way for people to start like getting introduced into like community like picket organizing, but there's a whole world of other things that are going down all the time.
Mm-hmm. yeah absolutely. We might have to wrap up there because we've got another very quick interview. But, yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Solidarity with all our comrades up there.
And give our love and respect to Hannah if you're talking to her.
Absolutely.
Of course. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Now, so I'm just going to try and get we're going to try and head to Mapuan. Alice Springs, where today there was a vigil, as we said, outside of Pine Gap.
Right.
Yeah. And so I...
My old stomping ground.
And I think we've got it on the line. Hello there. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Great. All right. Well, just give me one second and we're going to go to air, and we're joined by someone in Mapuanta, Alice Springs, to talk very briefly about what went down today near Pine Gap. Thanks for joining us on a Friday rave.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, I'm sorry, we've only got a few minutes left, but there was an action today on Hat Road, is that correct?
Yeah, there was an action on the side of the road. We tried to have the event in a little conservation reserve that's right next to the facility. Hat Road goes to the main entrance of the Pine Gap Joint Defence Facility, mm-hmm. which is supposedly jointly operated by Australian US military, but it's actually run by the National Reconnaissance Office and Central Intelligence Agency, which are US intelligence organizations. And the base is receiving transmissions from three satellites in geostationary orbit, and those satellites are listening in for signals intelligence, predominantly in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And then this is like a ground station for those satellites receiving that information and then processing it. And obviously they're intelligence, operated by intelligence organizations. So that information is used in all kinds of different ways. But the community was there today, lots of people from the town, to hear some speeches and share some food and stand in opposition to the existence of this spy base, which needs to close immediately.
Well, needs to close 50 years ago, my friend. But I'm just going to ask, the people in Alice Springs, they've come on board with the campaign against Pine Gap? Have they? Were a lot of townsfolk there?
Well, the town, you know, there were maybe 100 or so people,
right,
attended this action.
That's a good turnout.
Yeah, every other time we've been there at doing demos at Pine Gap, the townspeople have basically stayed away from us. So it's nice to see it's moving.
Yeah, and I mean, actions get different amounts of people. So sometimes there's been 700 or 800 people, particularly through the '80s and the '90s.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of blockades more recently, in relation to the genocide in Gaza and the facility's role in providing, you know, targeting information and intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That is directly impacting. Yeah. So those blockades had maybe 30 or 40 people involved in them, and then this event today was maybe around 100 people. So, yeah, you know, there's different size crowds.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm really, really sorry, my friend, but I've just looked at the time and we're out of time. We're going to have to click over to the next show, but really hope that we can talk to you again at some stage
very
soon.
We'd love to have you talk about a specific Pine Gap show one day very soon, brother. Comrade.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. The only other thing to say is to close Pine Gap and cut ties with the US military industrial complex, especially in this current environment of rising fascism in the US.
That's right.
Communities all over the place are calling for those ties to be cut.
That's right. All right, we've got to go. This has been a Friday rave, and we'll talk to you very soon, comrade. Thank you so much.
Happy Brown Nose Day.
Thanks for having me.